terror and tasting deep inside the blood of the beast, and it was sniffing the air. "Hello, Mr. Vimes. I was wondering when you'd wake up." He sat up sharply. The cells were barred on the corridor side, but also between cells as well, on the basis that those caged ought to know they were in a cage. And in the next cell, lying with his hands behind his head, was Carsa. "Go on," said Carsa cheerfully. "Make a grab for me through the bars, eh? Want to see how long it takes before the guards arrive?" "At least they got you too," said Vimes. "Not for long, not for long. I smell of roses, me. Visit to the city. Got lost. Very helpful to the watch. So sorry to have bothered them. Here's a little something for their trouble." "You shouldn't have stopped the watch taking bribes, Mr. Vimes. It means an easier life all round." "Then I'll nail you some other way, Carsa." Carsa inserted a finger in his nose, wiggled it round, withdrew it, inspected its contents critically, and flicked them up towards the ceiling. "Well, that's where it goes all runny, Mr. Vimes. You see, I wasn't dragged in by four coppers. I didn't go around assaulting watchmen or trying to break into the university. I was knocking on the door." "I believe you, Mr. Vimes. But you know what coppers are like. You look at them in that funny way, and a bugger's will fit you up for every crime in the book. Terrible what they can pin on an honest man." Vimes knew it. "So, you got some money," he said. "Of course, Mr. Vimes, I'm a crook. And the best part is, it's even easier to be a crook when no one knows you're a crook. But coppering depends on people believing you're a copper. A turn up for the books, eh? You know, we're back in the good old days." "It seems that way," Vimes admitted. He didn't like talking to Carsa, but right now he seemed to be the only real person around. "Where did you land, if I may ask?"
"In the Shades."
"Me too. Couple of blokes tried to mug me where I lay. Me, I ask you, Mr. Vimes. Still, they had some money on them, so that worked out all right. Yes, I think I'm going to be very happy here. Oh, here comes one of our brave lads." A watchman walked along the passage swinging his keys. He was elderly, the kind of copper who gets given the jobs where swinging keys is more likely than swinging a truncheon. And his most distinguishing feature was a nose twice the width and half the length of the average nose. He stared at Vimes for a moment and then passed on to Carsa's cell. He unlocked the door.
"You, hop it," he said.
"Yes, sir. Thank you, sir," said Carsa, hurrying out. He pointed to Vimes. "You want to watch that one, sir? He's an animal. Decent people shouldn't be locked up in the same cell, sir."
"Hop it," I said.
"Hopping it, sir. Thank you, sir." And Carsa, with a leery wink at Vimes, hopped it. The jailer turned to Vimes.
"And what's your name, mister?"
"John Keel," said Vimes.
"Yeah?"
"Yeah, and I've had my kick in. Fair's fair. I'd like to go now."
"Oh, you'd like to go, would you? You'd like me to hand over these keys and give you 5 pence in the poor box for your trouble, eh?"
The man was standing very close to the bars, with the grin of one who mistakenly thinks he's a wit when he's only half a one. And if Vimes's reflexes were quicker, and he'd bet they were even now, it'd be the work of a second to pull the old fool forcibly into the bars and spread his nose even further across his face. No doubt about it. The psychopaths had it the easy way.
"Just freedom would do," he said, resisting temptation. "You ain't going anywhere, except to see the captain," said the jailer.
"That'd be Captain Tilden," said Vimes. "Have I got that right? Smokes like a bonfire, got a brass ear and a wooden leg."
"Yeah, and he can have you shot. How do you like them bananas?"
The cluttered desk of Vimes's memory finally unearthed the inadvertent coffee mat of recollection from under the teacup of forgetfulness.
"You're snouty," he said.
"Right? Some bloke broke your nose and it never got set properly, and your eyes water all the time, which is why they gave you permanent jail duty."
"Do I know you, mister?"
said Snouty, peering at Vimes through suspicious running eyes.
"Me? No, said Vimes hastily. "But I've heard people talk about you. Practically runs the watch house, they said. Very fair man, they said. Firm but fair. Never spits in the gruel, never whittles in the tea, and never confuses his fruit either."
The visible parts of Snouty's face contorted into the resentful scowl of someone who can't quite keep up with the script.
"Oh, yeah," he managed. "Well, I've always kept a clean cell, that's very true."
He looked a little nonplussed at the development, but managed another scowl.
"You stay here, mister, and I'll go and tell the captain."